My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I'm very pleased to have my next guest. And again, just want to remind you, CGRWellness.com, CGRWellness.com. And if you go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, all you need to do is go to the health section, and all three of the available health products are there and available to you that you can find. The CGR Wellness is there. The detox that Tim spoke about is there. And then also the prayer to reverse the effects of the vaccine. That we have had tremendous testimonies about is there as well. And that's at health, under the heading health, at chosengenerationradio.com. All right. My good friend David Wormser is back from Israel, back here in the States. You and I have been in just constant contact. I mean, we talk a lot. We've become friends, and I'm very pleased, for that opportunity to be your friend but we've been in constant contact about these issues since October 7th. In particular, if you missed it, we did a 2.5-hour interview on that day. We have done interviews regularly since that time, and you can find all those at Rumble at Chosen Generation Radio Show, and just do a search for Dr. David Wormser. But David, some of this stuff, and I wouldn't really get, I want to get to current, but some of the things that are happening, you know, you and I sat down, it had to have been the month before this, when we went through on this show with the map of Israel, and we showed people each one of these danger spots, and we and you analyzed for us why you believed these were hot spots, and why you believe we were probably looking essentially what you said is, look, Israel's already at war. The missiles may not have yet been fired. The invasion may not yet have happened. But the reality is that based on everything else that the enemy is doing, they are acting as though they're at war with Israel.
You know, I'm so glad you raised that, because when you look, when the shots are fired, that's already well into the conflict.
Sure.
And you know, we learned this with World War II with Hitler and Tojo in Japan. We learned this about the Ayatollahs before the hostage crisis. Before, we learned this about North Korea. We learned this about Xi in China. These people are not dishonest about their goal. They're very dishonest, but they're not dishonest about their goal of being at war with us.
Right.
They openly say it, crow about it, and then they prepare for it. And it's a constant malady of the West that we say, well, they don't really mean it. I mean, who in their right mind would really want to go to war, et cetera? I mean, we're a decent people. We don't go to war because we like war. We go to war because we have to. So we kind of project that on others. What you saw in Israel was they were openly talking not only about war, and there had been wars before, every 2 years, basically, some sort of war. They were talking about a highly escalated attack on Israel that they called the Circle of Fire, that surrounded Israel from the north with Hezbollah in Syria, Hamas from Gaza, an uprising in the West Bank that then also has Hamas, PIJ, and PLO attacking Israel. And then in the south, Yemen. And a lot of people thought, well, that's a nice fantasy. You know, Israel's so powerful. How would that, you know, this is just typical Arab fantasy. They don't really mean it, nor would they really have any interest in doing so. So people were pretty secure in their belief that there was a stable state of deterrence and a stable state. And lo and behold, here we are in the middle of the execution of the Circle of Fire strategy. And you're right, Pastor, we went over this a month before, and I think 2 or 3 months before. I think we might have even mentioned the word Circle of Fire.
Right.
But if we didn't, we talked about a 5-front war or a 6-front war,
right,
which is the same way to say Circle of Fire. And here we are. So, well, didn't take any brilliance. No. All you had to do was listen to what they said.
Brandon Weikart was just on with me. And we were talking about this, and we were talking about, you know, the number of fronts. His assessment was is that at this point, you know, the second front is really not fully open yet. It's opening, but they have not released the dragon yet, so to speak. But his greatest concern that he expressed was the level of sophistication of the weaponry systems that are available to Hezbollah, to Hamas, that are way beyond anything that Israel has ever had to defend herself against in ever. And probably are more than any other country in the world has ever faced, period. Because obviously, I mean, the strategy, the kinds of weaponry that we battled, whether we, you know, whether we're talking, I mean, even when we were in these little Afghan skirmishes, and I don't mean to take away from our soldiers who fought, I mean, these were terrible wars and fights they got in and all of that. But what I'm saying is that the weaponry that the other side had and used against us, one of the reasons that we, you know, once we got into an actual military conflict with them, we always won. Why? Because our technology was so far advanced to, you know, to their missile sitting on the back of a truck.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I think our spirit. But at the end of the day, you're right. It's what Israel encountered with Hamas were quite a few innovative pieces of weaponry for. I think one of the famous pieces that they ran across was an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade. This has been around many, many years, but not a thermobaric one, which essentially injects gas and then ignites the gas. This is quite new, and it's a North Korean design, apparently. It was built by Iran, but there's also a lot of North Korean equipment. And Hamas is on one level. Hezbollah is yet on a higher level. Its missiles have very big warheads. They're very precise. Hamas missiles are terror weapons. They throw them on Israeli cities, but they can't tell whether it's going to land here or 500 yards away. The Hezbollah missiles are accurate. They can take out an airport runway. They can take out an intersection.
Strategic ballistic missiles.
Right.
And maybe not yet hypersonic, but. Getting close to that kind of level of assault.
Yeah, Iran claims it now has, by the way, hypersonic missiles. But Hezbollah also has advanced anti-tank missiles, the latest forms of them. A few of those showed up in Gaza, but Hamas has only limited capability. Hezbollah has huge capabilities. That's one of this thing about this war. What happened in the south could have happened in the north times 10 or 100.
Right.
And that's one of the things the Israelis are thinking about, which is they can't end this war with the same problem in the north unaddressed, which is why I think we still have a long war ahead of us, and we have both fronts ahead of us, both rough fronts. I mean, the northern front is really two fronts.
Right,
which is
Syria and Lebanon, okay.
But they really operate as one front, so I think we have a lot ahead of us. But one thing I would warn America about is what Israel is encountering here. Think for a moment about North Korea. A lot of these are North Korean weapons and Iranian weapons. Iran and North Korea have an integrated defense production structure. So our forces, we have, what, about 30,000, 40,000 troops in North Korea, many of them in the north along the DMZ.
Right.
The demilitarized zone. Seoul, the capital of South Korea, is only, what, about 60 miles from the front line with North Korea. We know North Korea has drilled many tunnels. They're deeply aligned with Hamas and Hezbollah, use many of the same tactics, and certainly the weapons are North Korean in some cases. What I'm very worried about is that we will encounter this in North Korea, invading South Korea this way and taking 10,000 American hostages, American servicemen hostage, killing 1,000 to 3,000 more, and God knows how many South Koreans. And so I think what we need to look at is this is the world of barbarism, the axis of barbarism against the West. And Israel has to hold its water, and it has to win this on its own, and it has to essentially maintain the Western pillar in the region. But this is an attack on the West as a whole.
Well, and I think, yeah,
and Korea and elsewhere.
Sure, And I think, and I know we'll get into more of this with probably, well, I'll get into more of this with Jeff Dunitz in the next hour when we talk about, you know, the view of how American Jews are addressing this particular issue. But, you know, when we talk about the Holocaust, people now are, oh, 6 million. Well, it wasn't really 6 million and da, da, da. And how could you do 6 million in 3 years and all this kind of stuff? Well, actually, it was 12 years, number one. But setting all of that aside, we do, and it's no disrespect to the Holocaust and what happened to the Jewish people, but there were another 5 to 6 million. Who tried to help the Jews in those days, Christians and others, that also were exterminated along with that. Okay?
Absolutely, and
it's important now, especially now, more than ever, to remember that and understand that. Because if everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, it's about the Jews. This is the point we're trying to make to you folks. Yes, this is an assault on Jews, and we can talk about anti-Semitism, we can talk about all those things. But at the end of the day, this is an assault on anyone who believes in the God of this book right here, of this Bible right here. Anyone who follows this scripture, this word of God that actually traditionally follows the values set out and associated with it, holds to a biblical worldview. If you hold to that, then you are an Orthodox traditional Jewish person. You are an Orthodox traditional Christian, and you have become the enemy of the world and the enemy of states, including, unfortunately, this government right now, the tyrants that are living in Washington, D.C., which is why every single day that they try to tell Netanyahu and Israel, you can't attack, yet, you can't do it. Nope, just wait, just hold on, because, you know, just hold on, while they send $100 million to Gaza, while they put $6 billion in the hands of the Hamas leader, who you know is sharing that with Hezbollah in Qatar, because they don't need the money to go to Iran, David.
Right. You know, I think you really put the finger on the key issue here, which is not all people who have disagreements with Jews are, I mean, a lot of people do that out of genuinely good intentions, and God knows that the Jewish people in the Bible even don't come out. They don't acquit themselves all that well as a people often. Moses, I really think that, we have the great poem about Moses and Mount Nebo looking at the Israelites crossing, and it's the height of melancholiness, the sadness of his, that he can't go. Well, it's really, in my view, it might be a misinterpretation, because I think he felt like, good riddance, they are such a stubborn people. My first cup of coffee in a long time that I can enjoy, etc. That being critical of Jews is not anti-Semitism, and there's certainly a lot to be critical about. But Jews are the symbol, in many ways, for a lot of people, of the core of Judeo-Christian culture. And if you take on that core of Judeo-Christian culture, you will inherently take on the Jewish people in a genocidal way.
Right.
And so when you see communism, when you see Nazism, this is an assault on the foundations of the West. And you cannot avoid attacking the Jews if you are attacking the foundations of the West. So often anti-Semitism is a harbinger of a much larger assault. When Nazis went after Jews, it was inevitably going to wind up in a world war. When communism went after Christian priests, or later, earlier on, they weren't as bad toward, they weren't bad toward Jews, but not as bad. Later, of course, they were very strongly anti-Semitic. When communists did that, you know, there was just no reconciling with the idea of the West.
Well, and the communists are the ones, David, that actually created the Elders of Zion writings.
Correct.
The whole myth of the Elders of Zions was created in the 1920s by the communists, and then adapted by Hitler to be used as propaganda to turn the German people against the Jews.
And it continues. In 1964, they created the Palestinian Liberation Organization and invented this idea of the Palestinian people. And they did that because they wanted to destroy the core pillar of Western civilization in the region, Israel, the resurrection of Israel, which had deep biblical undertones. So they understood that the destruction of Israel was such an imperative to the overall destruction of the West. So they created the PLO to do that. And they used then the radicalism to infiltrate our universities.
And I'm going to stop you right there. Not that that's not important, but we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left, and we have to get in what's happening in Israel right now. And what I'm going to tell you folks is this. Everything David's talked about right now, everything I'm telling you, all this history, every bit of it, we have covered here on this program. David and I have covered this information. You would know all of this if you listened to these segments, and you should, because of the impact not just on Israel, but on our country and the assault on Western culture as a whole. And I mean, you would know all of this, and you can learn it. You literally will have a PhD in Western culture history and understanding the assault upon it if you listen to all the segments that we've done over the course of the last year and a half. Truly.
Absolutely.
All right. David, I want to get into what's going on. There's been several things that have popped up. Tell us who Hanegbi is.
He's the National Security Advisor of Israel. He's not in the inner cabinet, and he's not particularly close to the prime minister. So despite his position, I wouldn't call him the innermost circle of government decisions. But it is the National Security Advisor. He is informed about everything, and he tries to make – he echoes the positions of the Israeli government.
So when he makes a statement, we should assume it from the statement that he makes that the majority of what he's saying is, in fact, factual.
Or at least an official Israeli statement. It could be deliberate misinformation, but – misinformation or whatever,
right.
But what he is saying is sanctioned by the prime minister and the government. He will not wander off the reservation.
Now, to that end, there has been this conversation about negotiations. And tell me where are things right now? Because in the midst of those negotiations, I believe Hamas has not relented. Hezbollah has actually increased its activity from normal, and people do need to, again, go back and listen to what we've shared, because Hezbollah and Hamas have been sending missiles into Israel for as long as you and I have been talking about these things. There's never been a complete years long peace ever. They do, even in between the quote unquote 2 year war periods that we talked about a little bit ago here. My understanding is that even during in between those, they would just have flurries of missiles that they would just send.
And terrorists, they would send terrorists into Israel and kill Israelis. They would send terrorists into Europe and kill people.
Right.
So, and they would send, even things like balloons, happy birthday balloons, 20 of them tied together with incendiary devices to burn down Israeli agricultural fields and so forth. There's never really a true ceasefire. It's an ongoing war. There's never really a stopping of shooting. There's only a low-level burner. But absolutely. So this is going on all the time.
So where are we right now? The message sent that was initially was we're not negotiating. We're going to act. Then came a follow up to that. Oh well, Qatar is really being helpful to us in negotiations. Speak to that and speak to, because we only got 5 minutes left, about how critical this, where we are right now, is.
Well, there are 225 hostages taken by Hamas. Some of them are a few months old. Some of them are 95 years old. There's 30 children under the age of 10 I think. This is a horrific situation. Some are dual citizens. They have American citizenship, German citizenship, so forth. So Hamas is using the hostages very effectively as a tool of manipulation, one, to play the world and try to divide Israel from the world, but second, also to delay the Israeli ground invasion. Oh, let's seriously talk about releasing hostages, and the Israelis won't invade while these negotiations are underway, and blah, 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 blah. So it's a deliberate stalling attempt by Hamas to try to then get world opinion on their side and so forth, and say, look, we're being reasonable. We're trying to release the hostages, et cetera, as if they're just normal prisoners of war. So there's a lot of that going on. But the Israelis, obviously, being a Western country, are very sensitive to these kids and to their hostages, and they want to bring them home. So it has some impact. That said, I think the Israeli government is much less – they have a bigger concern, which is the viability of the state and the need to win right now this war. So it's filtered through that principle, and the Israelis will only accept so much. As far as Qatar goes, Qatar is a major non-NATO ally, but it hasn't behaved that way, neither to the United States nor Israel. And in many ways, you see the very difference here. Israel is trying to negotiate to save the hostages. It's trying to negotiate to destroy Hamas. Not negotiate, it's acting to destroy Hamas.
Right.
Qatar is trying to save Hamas.
Of course.
And it's trying to help Hamas use the hostage situation to do so. It's the primary, for one of them, not primary, it's a funder of Hamas. It's an ally with the Turks, and when they're against Israel, it also works with the Iranians. They play all sides. So they're very much a problem. My sense is that the Israelis are, to some extent, playing along with the United States. If they can get more hostages out, they will. And if it's not a big cost, a few humanitarian gestures, it might mean something meaningful in humanitarian terms. But Israel is determined to win this. And I don't think Hamas is going to give up its cards like that when they know the next step then is an unleash Israeli ground invasion, which is probably going to happen anyway.
Well, and Israel, as we've discussed, has going to have to make a very strong state. They cannot let either of these entities continue as things have been. Obviously, that they will come together. They are working together to try to wipe Israel off the map. One last thing. There's a and the reason I bring it up is I believe Candace Owen went off about this, and several others have gone off about it, and that's about this Greek Orthodox Church of Saint Porphyrius, that one of the oldest churches in the world is in the Gaza Strip area, and it was reported, just like they did with the hospital, that Israel bombed the church. Now, I've got pictures up that clearly show the church is still standing. What have you heard about this, and what do you know, real quick?
It's a 1,000-year-old church. There was a command center for Hamas, as well as a launch site for Hamas, very close by. The Israelis use precision-guided munitions that are very accurate, and they hit it. And, of course, it shook the church because it's not far away, these bombs. And it certainly maybe little pieces of debris wound up in the church courtyard. But the church was not hit. The church is intact. Anybody in the church is fine. And it can continue to function. But, again, points to the central problem, which is Hamas uses human shields. It uses Palestinians. The greatest humanitarian crisis is the use of the human shields by Hamas. It uses churches, it uses mosques, it uses hospitals and schools. That is the military structure of Hamas. They deliberately put command headquarters under hospitals, launch sites in schools, especially elementary schools.
Right.
This is a big problem, and this is a war crime. But this is the barbarism you're dealing with. We really are dealing with it.
And then the other side to this, and maybe we'll talk more about it with Jeff, but you and I will be talking more about it. I think I'll get with you, and we'll get you back on Monday, because I think a lot's going to happen over the weekend, or potentially is going to happen over the weekend. But this is the other part to this, too, to understand. The people in Hamas have had elections. They elected first Fatah, which was the PLO, and now they elected Hamas. and I think 2017, something like that.
Yeah, and they also, there were elections that had to be canceled in the West Bank among the Palestinians,
yeah,
Judea and Samaria,
but
because Hamas was going to walk away with them.
Well, and so the point of this is that Hamas was elected by the people in Gaza. They said, this is our government. So when you say, oh, well, the poor guy, look, it's like the people in Germany, honestly, with Hitler or what have you. You know, when you support them and you vote them into office, you're going to bear the consequences for the people that represent you. And that's what we try to tell you here in America as well. You're going to bear the consequences for the people that represent you. And they supported this. And they hide them and they cheer for them. And they cheered when these barbarians came into Israel and did what they did. I got to go. Shirley Dominic's waiting on us. David, thank you so much for being here today. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. There's a lot more to cover. I'll get you back on Monday and we'll do more.
Perfect.
Okay. God bless you, sir.
You too.
And we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy until He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased. And again, I just, you know, I ask you to be in prayer for the people of Israel. Be in prayer for us. Again, as David and I shared in that segment, there were 6 million Jews that were murdered by the Holocaust. And that's horrific. But as David and I were saying, there were about 6 to 6.5 million who tried to help them that were also murdered, that we should not forget. And why? Because the goal of what's happening right now is to destroy the people who believe in the God of this book right here. That's the goal. And I am grateful for willing warriors. And that is who we want to honor in our next segment, is those willing warriors. I want to welcome Shirley Dominic, who has been working diligently for the last 8 years to really bring a focus to those people and to honor them. So, Shirley, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Well, I am grateful for people like yourself who, you know, because the people who jump into these fights, the guys that are jumping on planes to respond as volunteers and go back and fight for the IDF, are soldiers. You know, our nation is replete with the history of young men who said, "Not on my watch."
Mm-hmm. Oh, ooh, absolutely.
Not on my watch.
Not on my watch.
You know, mm-hmm. I know when I joined the service way back in the 80s during the Cold War, you know, we had that mentality, not on my watch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So talk to me about what led you to start honoring these willing warriors. And give us the definition of what you mean by a willing warrior.
You know, and that's really a great question, because I think when we started back in 2012, it was, we may have had a different definition of willing warriors. At that time, we were looking at wounded, ill, and injured, you know, warriors in himself that's been uniform. But, you know, when you look at the big picture of willing warriors, it is the sacrifice that so many in this country have made to keep our freedom as we have it today. And so it goes beyond even the uniform of those. But looking at the first responders now that we're even caring for as well. So Willing Warriors itself, it started back in 2006. And I'll tell you, when our pastor at Park Valley Church, Pastor Barry White, gave a challenge to the small group to go out into the community and just do something for 40 days, you know, find a project, you know, maybe go and cut the grass for the elderly, you know, go and clean up a home for, you know, someone that really need and so forth. But our group decided that we would go and visit Walter Reed. And we'll, this is on Christmas time, we'll just take a little, you know, little gift for them. And we took 50 gift bags. But I tell you what we learned in that whole process, where we had the party that's supposed to start at 4 o'clock, and we got there at 2:30, and only to find that we had no gift at 4 o'clock. It was all gone. So what we were left with is just warriors and families. Had no idea that having 3.5 hours later to just talk with them, sit with them, the camaraderie alone that they were so longing for, that we made a bond at that night that I tell you lasts forever. That's 2006, where we realized that we had to literally do more. And I always go back to this one picture that I have literally etched in my mind, really in my heart. Like every day I think about Oscar, the double amputee that's 19 years old. He was hanging there with my three daughters, and they were like best friends. You know, connected in no time, because they had now a space where they could actually get together and share and bond. And so that led us to, believe it or not, in 2012, where we actually now have a facility there in Haymarket, Virginia, where we have warriors and their families. They come and they spend about a week respite where they can actually bond together, relax, rejuvenate, and just change a whole, you know, trajectory of their lives, you know, in many cases. So so Willing Warriors itself, like I said, it changes faith, but the underlining meaning of it all is that heart of serving and being willing to keep our country free. And it is something that we don't take lightly at all. I think when we wake up every day and we go to our 9-to-5, we go to our 9-to-5, and that's what we do every day. There's a real world that's underneath that, that's just fighting for us to be able to do that. And so that's what we're focusing on, is caring for those who are serving for us.
You know, well, and the long-term impacts, right, Shirley? I mean, you know, when when someone gets injured, I know I've learned an awful lot because of the injuries that I suffered. You know, I learned what it's like to try to live life out of a wheelchair in public. And you know, trying to find, I mean, something as simple as trying to find a clean restroom, honest to God. So we have a lot of young men that have come back from wars over the last 10 to 20 years, whose lives are radically changed and permanently changed in a physical sense, who need to know and understand that they still have great value, that they can still make an impact, that they can still do something, that, you know, that technologies are advancing and healing is advancing and all of these things, but they need access. And then, you know, what I find is probably the most important thing. You just mentioned it. You need somebody to come alongside of you and say, okay, hey, let's get out of bed this morning. Let's take these first steps. And get that portion started. How you feeling? How you doing? Can you take a few more steps? Okay. Well, okay. Let's do that. Or no, not quite yet. All right. No worries. Let's, what can we do? What is possible? 'Cause I'm not going anywhere. I'm here and we're going to walk through this until you're really at the place where you can start doing more of these things yourself.
I think it's so huge, you know. It gives hope for those knowing that somebody is right there for them and not going to give up on them. And that's what we want to assure them, that we're here for them. Yeah. It's not going to be another Vietnam where, you know, we totally disregard your service. Mm. You know, we're here to say we have a place for you. And it's one thing to have a physical place, but also to be able to look beyond that. And this is something that we have learned in this whole process, is that it's important, that spiritual part, because I can give you that physical for a nanosecond, and all of a sudden you go back to your real world and there is nothing. And so one of the things we focus on, too, is that spiritual. And so we work alongside groups like the Mighty Oaks, that would come in for a week of post-traumatic stress training, that we say, you know what, these are combat vets that have been there and they've done that. They understand where they're going, what they're going through. So each one, reach one, they teach. They know that they have battle buddies that understand where they are and say, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm here for you. And so that spiritual part is really, really critical. In fact, in the last couple of years, we started baptizing there on site. So those that have gone, and I tell you, just recently we had, and so every quarter there is what we call a fight camp. So you have a group up to about 25 warriors that would come, and they would go through this week program. But at the end of the day, they have a graduation. And at the graduation, that day prior to graduation, we will have an opportunity for baptism and to see the number of warriors transform. I say transform.
Yeah.
And like one of the warriors looked me in the eye and said, I'm going back home to tell my family where this happened. I'm going to tell my family. And so, you know, what's interesting about that, it was the excitement of, I really am a new person.
Amen.
I have now a team of people that can come alongside me, you know, not just physically, but they teach me the word. They keep me on the path that I need to be on. And so it has been really, really life-changing. I said for the warriors, but I would say this too, Greg, is for the community, because the community get an opportunity now to take part in healing these warriors. You know? So I look at even like the trough that they are baptized in, and it was donated by the neighbor. He's on a farm and he said, I have a trough. You know, what does it take to have a baptism? Okay. And right. So it's so authentic when you have everybody to say, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that, but I can do this, you know, and they come in and whatever little or large they can do, they make a difference. Amen. So it is so, so humbling, so important. You know, we as a community, I feel now we just have a civic duty to be able to prepare a place. We don't know what's going to happen there in the Middle East. You know, I know, you know, my heart tells me it's not going to be pretty, you know, it's not pretty. And so, but we know that we can do our part here, do what we can do. Mm-hmm. And so right now we started out with one house, 11,000 square foot, which we went in and totally renovated. It was built in 1977. Husband and wife team built it for their retirement home. And little did we know, it was the owner himself. He actually was, he was in the Navy. And he actually worked alongside mental health warriors. And so had no idea, 1977. Wow. So I honestly know that things just supposed to be.
Yeah.
And in a sense, I say supposed to be for the warriors, but also supposed to be for us as a community to be able to serve and give back to these warriors and their families.
Willingwarriors.org. I want to make sure we get that said over our audio audience. Willingwarriors.org. Shirley Dominic is with us. Shirley, when we talk about, you know, this, you have an event coming up, the 8th annual Black Tie event. Where's that going to be held, and how can people participate in that? Or even make, you know, donations to support what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited already.
Amen.
I'm truly excited already. So it's going to be at Lansdowne Resort there in Lansdowne, Virginia. And I would say that this is our fourth event there at Lansdowne, and it gets better and better all the time. So I say this, you want to support these warriors, you come out and look for the time of your life. I'm telling you, it is just a fun time for us. Get dressed up, come out, meet some of the warriors that we support, that have been to the retreat, hear their stories, see the impact. It is absolutely, absolutely amazing. So
when is that going to happen?
It's going to be the 4th of November. 4th of November. And like I said, it's at Lansdowne. It starts at 5 o'clock. And I would say just come and kick back and enjoy. And what I encourage people to do at this time, it is a time of celebration. You know, you look at what's going on in this world. We can focus on the news and we focus, but there's a time that we can step back and say, you know what? There's some great things that are happening. There are some beautiful things that are happening. And so to be able to sit right next to a warrior that have been out in combat, and these are people that you have touched and feel by your service, whether you rake the yard, you know, you clean the toilet, you do whatever, but they're there and they want to say thank you. They just like so humble and so grateful. Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to have you come out and just join us. We have tickets still available. And I tell you, you're going to have a good time.
Willingwarriors.org. You can purchase your tickets there, or you can make your donation there as well. Just click on events, and you'll see the annual gala, and that's happening on the 4th of November. It looks like there's also something happening at the Bungalow Lake House. Now, what's that?
The Bungalow Lake House, that must have just been added.
I guess so. It says the Bungalow Lake House, Eat, Drink, Relax, presents Justin Swade Sunday, November 12th at 4 p.m., which is another event that's been added
to the play. They're actually doing a benefit for us. So that's another way to support as well.
Yeah, and this big one we're talking about, it's the annual Willing Warriors Gala. An Evening to Remember at Lansdowne Resort and Spa in Virginia, November 4th, 2023. And it's easy to get signed up, easy to get tickets, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is a black tie event, so you're going to have to bust out your suit, right?
Yeah, do that. Okay, mess dress, whatever it takes. Okay,
there you go. Yeah. If you know what was that line that Denzel Washington used in Remember the Titan? If you don't have one, steal one from a bum.
Whatever you do, just get there. All right.
But put on your very best, folks. Put on your very best, and come out and honor our willing warriors, and be praying for them as well. You talked about the spiritual aspect of this, and I think when we talk about injuries and mental health and these kinds of challenges. Yes, absolutely. There is the physical body. There's the chemical imbalances. There's all those things, and we can work on those. And I prefer naturopathy. That's what I've used is naturopathic mm-hmm. ways to address that kind of stuff for myself personally. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you what: if I did not know and understand the spiritual war that triggers everything else, that is associated with everything else, and I had not mm-hmm. been given tools to fight that, you cannot fight this fight without the realization that there is an evil that wants to take you out. But that he who is in you, when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I taught on this yesterday on the program at the very end, actually. 1 John 5, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The overcoming. Colossians chapter 2, you are complete in him. Philippians 2:13, he is working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. You have that. First Peter 2, he's given you everything for life and godliness. So important that's
a beautiful message. It really is. And that just brings to my mind, I visited a warrior, and it shakes me when you were saying those scriptures, because I walk into this room, and we really weren't going to go in because we had seen so much trauma prior to this. It's like, I'm not going to see it. Well, the attendant said, well, we had already planned it. Are you sure you want to disappoint this warrior? Well, we go in, and lo and behold, the first thing I noticed was his wife was sitting on his bed, but I realized where she was sitting was almost in the middle of the bed. And I noticed that he reached out his hand to me. And before I could really kind of resolve everything, it was the realization that he only had one arm. He'd lost both legs entirely and lost the second arm. He had one arm left. And we stayed in there. We're supposed to be in there 15 minutes. It was over an hour. We sat with this guy. He had three children, and his dad was sitting in a chair, and he said, I've been here 2 weeks. But what he said was impactful for the group for life. He said, I want you to know that I have my mind. I know Jesus. Okay. And this, here's what he said. He said, this 2 weeks has been the best 2 weeks of my entire life. Wow. Is that incredible? The best 2 weeks of your entire life, and you don't have a leg, or you don't have, but I, and so we walked out of there saying, did he bless us or did we bless him? I mean, it just was like, I'm like, Lord, I thank you. But that guy gave us a revelation for life, when you know Christ, you got it all. I got it all.
Yeah.
And the physical one thing, but let me tell you, I got my mental out of this.
Mm. We're at the end of our time. Give me 30 seconds on it, because then we got to cut. I've got my next guest is going to be waiting on me, just like you were, and I apologize for that. But go ahead, give me a quick 30-second or 60-second advertisement about what we want folks to do. That was powerful, yes. By the way. I need to share with you my testimony. I'm gonna send that to you. All right, go right ahead.
Yes, but what I want to say to the community, thank you, first of all. And I would say, too, that there is a lot of work still to be done.
Amen.
You know, what we've done on the battlefield, but it's still carried over. And we need your help. We still need your support. And we are very grateful for you walking arms in arms with us to keep our warriors healthy and happy, and for us to tribute back to them for keeping us safe.
Amen.
So thank you.
Amen. Folks, again, willingwarriors.org. Go to the website, willingwarriors.org. Under events, you're looking for the big gala. And if you're in that area or you can get out there on the 4th of November, it's going to be a beautiful time, just a beautiful time. And even if you can't do that, two other things you can do. You can make a small donation or a large donation, depending on what you're able to do. You can put this on your prayer list as an organization to be praying for, because as we said, they are advancing the kingdom of heaven and the gospel by encouraging these wounded warriors, to these willing warriors, to recognize that God does have a plan and a purpose. And if you know my show, you know my story, and you know that this accident over the last 4 years has allowed us to break into ministry in Punjab, India, plant 1,200 churches, put in 43 freshwater wells, and establish 4 sewing schools for widows, all based on the testimony. And every day we add souls and change lives over there. Even as you and I are talking right now, Shirley, there are ministers in ministry that's happening where signs and wonders and miracles and God is moving over there. And, you know, again, it's all predicated right out. It came out of the injuries that I suffered. God can use us even in our broken state.
100%.
All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to jump. We'll be back. Don Jans joins me on the other side.
All right. Thank you.